Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Hello, Rhema Remnant Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have listened all throughout 2010 and are still remaining as our listeners here on Rhema Remnant Radio, as well as Spirit Straight Talk Radio here in 2011. We have some great broadcasts that are planned for you all for your edification, as you know. Spirit Straight Talk Radio for daily application. Every believer from the congregation all the way up to the ones, those of us who have the most responsibility as leaders in the body of Christ, bishops, and so forth, as well as those of us who fall between their top administration, music ministry, the very aspect of the church that we have great broadcast plans for you. We also want to thank you to our partners. Family of our founder. He celebrated the birthday in December on the 30th. We had a great celebration on January 8th, Saturday in the evening. We had dinner and we had entertainment afterwards, a movie. We had a great time with our family, had a great meal. Everyone was just in such a great attitude. And it was just a great night. We had some challenges that we faced with the particular restaurant we went to, but the attitude of everyone who came and the support and the spirit among us overcame that challenge. So we are thankful to our partners and to our family and friends that came to celebrate with the founder and the staff that were able to make it to that event. It was great. We want to say thank you on the broadcast. Tonight, our founder will be coming on to speak on a dynamic message, and I'll let him give that information to you, as well as the message itself. I'm sure you'll enjoy, and it will spark another level of grace, another level of faith, where we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Here is our founder, Reverend LaVon Breland.
Well, good evening. Thank you for listening to tonight. I am delighted to be with you all tonight. I had to receive some information by the Holy Spirit. I want to teach tonight and continue with our understanding of unfolding the sovereign purpose. And in order to do that, we need to define this transition. And so tonight, we're going to start the transition to the journey of excellence. By hearing and hearing by the word of God. I pray the word of God will be there tonight. And Father, in everything, you will be glorified for things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and we will wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for past, that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of mourning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assembly a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge, and for a covering from the storm and from the rain, declares the Lord. The journey to excellence. As ministers of the gospel, we are called to a more excellent way, as the scripture depicts many times in the scripture, that we have been called to a life of excellence, and the quality of our life will determine the continuum of our ministry. As you begin to study and to declare God's word amongst the congregation, examine your conduct, because excellence is demanded of us. It is reminded to me in the scripture that there's a threefold purpose in the call toward those that claim to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Threefold found in Ephesians 4:12 that says it's for the working of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body, till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, and so on. That we henceforth no be children tossed and driven by every wind of doctrine. When we talk about excellence at the beginning of the year, it's an examination. Examination that sets forth a focus in our hearts to transition to whatever it takes to achieve that place where God is pleased. And often our ambitions are often mistaken with God's objectives. We have to, as ministers of God, concentrate on the will of God being achieved. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there are several things that I would say to you if we were in ministry about being excellent. One, developing a disciplined life, allowing the word of God to have first place in your life by making it final authority. Empowering your prayer life, being an example, enduring persecution as a good soldier, knowing the difference between telling the good news versus bragging, and taking time with your spouse, being faithful over your own household, then feeding the flock of God, the sincere, engrafted word of God. And then developing sound doctrine. Those 11 things are something I will often encourage you as ministers to have. But in order to do that, your concept about the church must be excellent. I was talking to a lot of ministers about what needs to take place in order for the church to be the church. And often when you listen to the dialogue that we have in ministry, we're often pointing back to that question, what will it take for the people to come into a place where they inwardly are motivated to outwardly express their steadfastness, unmovableness, abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, one, they have to have a revelation of his work. And the revelation of his work is going to be in the guides through the journey through excellence. And so that's what we start off with. We said that this year is a prophetic year, a year of transitioning, a year that we will hear from heaven, manifested miracles in our lives. Well, in order for that to happen, there has to be a journey that takes place. We have to walk with God and talk with God and communicate with God in such a way that when we go about doing the things that we have purposed to achieve in our lives, it will awaken the revelation of excellence. So that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. The prophetic declaration over Israel is a promise that at once in the last days, leading to the promise of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, referring to the spirit of judgment and burning, comes to the earth, that fruits would evolve, that would come about, fruits and qualities of life will come from the source of excellence. The passage suggests that the people who remained allowed God to manifest his cleansing power to produce holiness and glory. That's the effect of their union with their Heavenly Father that will translate them to a place of refuge and shelter in the times of storm. The question of this year is, how do we see our divine expectations come to pass? And I don't care where you are in life, there are expectations that we have that we want to see come to pass. And generally after the close of a decade, that year of transition that leads us into the next year, which really effectuates the decade, using 2 or 12, you know, it helps us come back to this question. Of course, I'm often challenging ministers of the gospel to examine to see whether you are in faith or not. What am I going to do today? That's what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about tonight. The observation of the prophet was often proclaimed futuristically so that way the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would have direct access to. Okay. Would have direct access to us through excellence. So let's talk about that tonight. How do we achieve this? We examine 5 things. Number 1, we examine the nature of the Master. In your theology, you have to examine the nature of God. In your theology, is in question, because all theology is supposed to point you to God. Theology is the study of God. We study the nature of the Master, and studying the nature of the Master, he's going to point us to number 2, the message. What is the overall message? Are we preaching that message? Often when we talk about excellence, and when excellence is brought to your attention, it's to point to you as to the state of ministers of the gospel, where you're going with your church or your ministry. Don't just come up with the concept of excellence to remain in the state that you're in. It's always set to bring about some greater sense of change that is needed to go beyond the norm. So after you check the message, then you review, thirdly, your motives. Are your motives in conjunction with God's overall will? And only a person that looks transparently through liberty can attain that. You know why a lot of people have challenges with this form of transparency is because we often give people too much input in our succinct focus that is necessary for us to be the men and women of God that he has called us to be. You have to be able and courageous to walk the straight and narrow. And then from that, what is your motive? After the motive, what type of, after the motives, then fourthly, what type of model are you portraying? Are you really representing the one that you worship? And if excellence doesn't come to the forefront of your mind, I'm saying quite directly that something is wrong and it needs to be looked into. And then fifthly, really the method. And that's why I come on the air. I examine the master, the message, the motive. You get what I'm saying? And then from the motive, I examine the method or the messenger or the model that we portray, and then the method. Because I find that inconsistency messes up your method, and it prevents you from operating in excellence. And truly excellence, when excellence is attacked, God's reputation is at stake, and so we have to examine exactly how this is going to come to pass. And we have to do this systematically. We have to concentrate on major things, giving practical applications to get God's attention as to what we know we should have, supposedly, through the sole reliance on the compliance of the authority of God's written word. When we allow God's written word to have proper place in our lives. Of course, you know, we asked the question earlier this year, why the word? Because the word serves as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It causes, it sets the path for God to communicate to us in the most effective way. So excellence is God's expressed glory given to the believers by execution of his will. Above the expected performance claimed by success in the world, energized by divine ability, five things come about. Number one, character. Two, competence. Number three, consistency. Number four, courageousness. And number five, Christ-likeness. And this is what raises us to a higher quality of life. Whenever excellence comes to phase, God wants to see if you're a person of character. If you're a person of competence, if you have consistency, if you're courageous, and if you're Christ-like, that's what sets us toward the quality of life. There's an expectation placed on the church by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to be excellent in learning from his life as the key proponent to our righteousness, holiness, and judgment establishes our hearts to hear and do what God intends through his church. Whenever the issue of excellence is raised amongst the hearts of his people, it is set to set a journey through experiencing first him, which is a change that will effectuate qualities in faith, finance, futuristic endeavors, fulfillment, and functioning of a unified people. The overall goal of these lessons on excellence is to build a roadmap to establish the unity in achieving excellence in all things that we do, not only in mere profession of Christian terms, but in our conduct and commitment to represent our God through godly living. So let's begin this journey of excellence. There's three concepts. So the first, we establish the pursuit. And then after that, we effectual communications, economic strategy that will lead to freedom, because it is for freedom which Christ has made us free. Amen. So these concepts must be communicated to the church. And for the church to find as this is what's needed for the church to be. That's right, the church. Amen. So let's look at communicating a little bit. What would it take to communicate our excellence? Commission. And when we do that, I'm going to give you the scripture tells us about it. The first thing it does is it tells us about the reputation of God. Psalms 8:1, it says, O Lord, how excellent is thy kingdom on the earth. Why? Because it's God's reputation. And Job is in point of understanding. He said a lot of things that weren't right then. This one thing that he found out to be that touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. But we know this one thing, that he is excellent in power, excellent in justice. Justice, he will not. So God's reputation is excellent. Second thing, we know the scripture points us out that the church, God's church, is identified by excellence to personal sanctification. And it says in Psalm 16:3, it says, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellence in whom all his delight, we are called to excellence. Of course, you know the big example is found with the example of Daniel. Of course, you know Daniel, you know in Daniel 6:3, that he had an excellent, that he was preferred of all the presidents and princes because of the excellent spirit that was in him. It's foreshadowing the Holy Ghost. The whole realm because he had embodied excellence. And that doesn't mean that he had the Holy Spirit, but he had a characteristic, a character trait of excellence in him innately. And it set him up for leadership. And we know that that excellent spirit was accommodated with five things. According to Daniel 5:12, the things that accompany the spirit of excellence, which is really a description of when the spirit of excellence is in effect, is found in that one quick statement. It says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolvings of doubts were found in the same Daniel in whom the king Belshazzar now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. In other words, these five mechanisms, knowledge, understanding, interpretation, hard sentences and dissolvings of doubt were found in this person. Why? Because of the spirit of excellence. And what we found out is that those who are sanctified, those who are set apart from God's word, as Daniel was, generally pay attention to details. They examine qualities and exist in higher qualities. And therefore, God sets them apart for his service. A church that is committed to excellence recognizes God's supreme authority to lead them to higher qualities of life. So then the practices within the church demand excellence to be displayed at all times for the sake of their reputation. The word ministry is God's method of administration. So we have to examine this roadmap in light of God's reputation in order for excellence to be effectuated in our lives. So what are the five things that are needed? Now, for excellence, in our ministry, one, there has to be an emphasis on core values through key-centered communication devices. Core values through key-centered communication devices. And the things that should guide us to develop excellence in life, number one, is the scriptures. Because the Bible teaches us about who we are, the scriptures, what we have, what we can do. And then from there, we have to tell the story of the faith. The story of the biblical account of what takes place in the scriptures, but the story that helps us come and that in our own lives we can reconcile sincerity. Okay. Then we have to say the strategy. That keep us in sync with God's will. And the way we do that is by staying clear in the vision, by becoming steadfastly committed to the kingdom of God, through committing to consistently attend the fellowships that center around God. from there, we have to develop symbolically statements that reflect the standards of our conviction and be unapologetically committed to these things. So we tell the story. We stick ourselves to the scriptures. We symbolically state the standards. We rely on the superiority of the supernatural power of God through our steadfastness in the Spirit. And then we raise glory to God. A state of adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the human church. We let him be glorified. Amen? From there, we pick up how this purpose is going to be realized. Now, we know this comes to communication. So if we don't have a revelation, we won't have effective communication, men and women of God. And how do we get this revelation to be activated in our lives? Look at the five core things. How we magnify, number one, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, how we stick to the mission of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 28:18. You know. I'm going to be all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, to do all that is written therein. How we teach them the Great Commission, and then from that, how we collect our members, how we remember people. See, when we talk about membership, it's not just to collect tithes and offerings, but it's to develop a communication that keeps you with us. Not developing divisive manipulations of theological tendencies, but allowing that nature of Christ to keep us interchanging and exchanging things with one another. And then from there, maturity. That could be some type of maturity. And that's what the church is lacking, maturity. And then from there, then we need to allow the moving of the Holy Spirit to lead us to places of ministry. The moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I close, I want to take you to an address in the book of Hebrews, found in the epistles of the church, the letters sent to the church, to express to us God's intent for his church. Of course, they were penned as men were moved by the Holy Spirit. The apostles of the church began to write. And we know that God in that era was communicating through his apostolic voice, his intent to the church. So when the book of Hebrews was constructed, it dealt with the message of the Messiah, the meaning of the church. It dealt with the mandate that we had to the new covenant, and it dealt with the motive of the people. They were faith people that walked in conjunction with what they knew God's will was so that way they could achieve that thing that pleased in their faith. By this the others obtained the good word reported to faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which were seen were not made by things which do appear. So, Hebrews reminds us as ministers of the gospel of the overall picture of the Christianity at its best. It is debated among scholars who the author is. Most tend to lean to Paul because of the in-depth insight that the writer had on the Jewish laws and customs. Some believe it was some type of counterpart of Paul. In either case, we know it was an apostolic voice because it was an epistle to the church to give a nutshell approach over the overall Christian message. It was appropriately officiated in the letters to the church to let us know that God wanted us to have a big picture in mind. And so as I take you to chapter 8, I could take you to 10 and 11 and 12. I'm reminded of this one principle that comes by way of excellence. We already told you that it was God's reputation, that God's church was identified. We told you that God's excellence was defined by the power of the Spirit, as it was seen in Daniel. I want to remind you of a scripture before I go on in Psalm 17:27, that he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. If your understanding doesn't derive from excellence, then it's not from God. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The scripture says that the natural man cannot obtain the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. My challenge to you ministers of the gospel, don't downplay the spirit in this time. It is the spirit of God that has been set to lead and guide us into the truth so that we can experience, hallelujah, we can experience a quality of life that only God can give. Can I read you the passages and then give you some primary principles and then leave? Says in the 8th chapter, I read the first 13 verses. It says, now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Let you know the sum of this. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, the minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord has pitched, not and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is also a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. See, that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the same example of the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he saith, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mouth. But now hath he, being Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. For if the first had been faultless, then there should be no place to have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with those in the house of Israel and those in the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto the unrighteous, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In that day, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes away, waxes old, is ready to be vanished away. This ministry of excellence was set by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the close of this book, when the book of Hebrews was written, the author understood that people were offering sacrifices. It was a transition that must be embraced in order to fully experience the authenticity of our faith. The author wrote about Jesus being greater than Moses, being the Messiah, the promise, the one that was a mediator, that was able to offer once and for all the propitiation of sin. the author knew by this point in this book. But there were people still out there offering sacrifices, but not from the source of the excellence ministry. Not for the sake of God's reputation. They were offering sacrifices in the earth realm to fulfill simply the law, the traditions of men, which ultimately made the word of God of none effect. Jesus had to not only die, but raise from the dead and ascend to the highest in the heavens at the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. In order to offer spiritual sacrifices so that the fruit of our lips would produce a righteousness that will cause us to live by faith and not by sight. And I say all of these things to say this, that when you truly are going after excellence, you're going to see a lot of people offering a lot of sacrifices after the old way. But those that are set on these promises and this covenant will instinctively grasp God's will, because he has written the laws on their hearts and their minds, so they would be a people and follow him. Excellency to the world is success. Excellency to the saints is a unity that creates that oneness with their Savior, where instinctively he can engraft wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in us to emit in our lifestyles a transformation that vividly proves what we believe, so that we're not a sounding gong, but we're the very nature and essence of his will. You know, there are five things that every believer needs in order to effectively experience Christianity. I'll say these and I'll close. Number one, they need encounters with the supernatural. They need to know that God's power is greater than their logic, that God's power is greater than their intellect, that God's power is greater than their associations, that God is all-powerful and is able to do exceedingly above all that they could ask or think. They need an experience, an encounter with the supernatural. Number two, they need evidence for their faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the others obtain a good report. When there's no evidence for your faith, then your faith is in question. Faith without works is dead. Faith without proof is fake. We need evidence for our faith. And then thirdly, we need enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, this understanding that keeps being the echoing theme of excellence. A person that has excellence has understanding because of the Spirit of God that's within them. And I like Paul pray often for the church, especially amongst the leaders, that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they might know the hope of his calling and to us with who believes. And then from there, after that enlightenment comes from the Holy Spirit, there needs to be efficient responses to prayer, to where we heighten our antennas to know God's voice greater than we hear our own voices. Perhaps we don't give enough time for waiting for the response, or maybe our methods are so erroneous that we have not given God avenue to truly speak to us. And then from there needs to be evaluations of our beliefs through the fulfillment of scriptures. When those things are in place, excellence could easily be attached Well, there are some things that excellence demands. I'll give you these. Number one, excellence is costly. It demands expenses. And from there, excellence demands education. You're going to have to search diligently, earnestly, cover those gifts. You're going to have to seek them. But we guarantee that those that seek them, yes, they find them. And through that educational pursuit, there's an exposure. An education doesn't just simply mean going to school to get a degree. It means allowing God to draw out of you those things that he has invested for you to receive. And to those encounters, there often is exposure, thirdly. And then from exposing you to opportunities, there's evidence that you're qualified because you've been places that only God could take you and that only God could show you. Some of you, it's just time in his presence. Others, it's a level of humility that you have to keep, that you have to develop your own self. Some of you, what you make happen, some of the things God will make happen for you. And there are others that have shut their ear and need to allow it to be open. And then from that exposure and that evidence and that education and those expenses, we are required as ministers of the gospel to be willing to exchange what we know for the souls that we commit ourselves to. You see our great example, the Lord Jesus, paid a high price for excellence. His life, glory to God, was demanded of him. And as a result of his obedience, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, glory to God. And despised the shame. Therefore, God so highly, what did he do? He exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name. So, challenge to you tonight as we transition to the next one. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And something tonight spark a motivation to rid ourselves of manipulation and humbly submit ourselves to the overall message of our the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that a revelation of excellence will touch everyone that hears this broadcast tonight. And whatever they set their hands to do, they will do it all under the authority of the Lord Jesus. And that next year, steadfast and unmovable will bring about an excellence that will promote them in various avenues of life so that you can get all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Lord Jesus. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do because greater is he. That's what we need, and that's what they know. This is Juan Breland. Thank you for listening to tonight. God bless you, and good night. I'll see you on Sunday. Live long and prosper.